Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. I don't know whether you noticed it, but the first verse of the first hymn had some powerful words. Praise my soul, the King of heaven, to his feet your tribute bring. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, evermore his praises sing. Alleluia. Alleluia. Well, wouldn't you know it? There is one unmistakable theme running loose in the gospel reading today. It is the theme of unity, oneness. Jesus prays that all who follow him be as united with him and with one another as he is to the Father and the Father to him. Boy, that's the real deal. True unity of oneness, heart, mind, and will. Not just the unity fluff on the outside, but all the way down to our very being. And yet, there is one unmistakable reality running wildly loose all around us in our world today, and that is that we are anything but unified. We are not one. We are not even close. Things don't seem to be getting any better. Even in many congregations and in the church throughout the world, we continue hearing about splits and battles and disputes and separations and condemnations. Times it seems so bad that you have to admit it is a miracle that there's even a Christian church on earth at all. Because you see, if it were up to us, and that's the point. The church isn't something we do. It's a miracle. It is the work of God, smack dab in the middle of the world. And this Sunday, perhaps like no other, can help us focus on that. Today is that Sunday that is sandwiched between the ascension of our Lord, this past Thursday, and Pentecost, which we will celebrate next Sunday. So today can kind of get lost in the shadow of those two big festivals. But this Sunday really brings both those things together. Our Lord's word to us today reminds us that both his ascension and the sending of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost are all about his continuing work. In the church and in the world, God is doing things. He is building his church. He is bringing the message of the cross and atonement of Jesus to those who do not know him and uniting them to himself. And even while the Lord uses people like the 11 apostles and old straw vote Matthias and folks like us, it really is his work. All of it from start to finish. And it doesn't take long to figure that out once you see what we have done in this world that God created in utter perfection and beauty, the disunity we've worked and continue to work, the ugliness of selfish pride we begat all from the very beginning when sin caused Adam and Eve to turn against each other. Then you have Cain against Abel and Isaac against Ishmael, Jacob against Esau, Absalom, remember him, he turned against his own dad, David. Israel split in two after Solomon's death, and after Jesus came, didn't take long for disunity to flower again, when as soon as St. Paul planted churches in Galatia and in Corinth, factions developed. Heresies divided the early church for hundreds of years. There was a great schism at the turn of the first millennium. Then came all the divisions and condemnations at the time of the Reformation. And now the modern day 2019 situation, well, it's just all but impossible to even number the Christian denominations and sub-denominations. If it were up to us, well, that's what we've done. husband against wife, brother against brother, children against parents, Christian against Christian. People coming to the altar of the Lord to receive his body and his blood for the forgiveness of their sins and returning to their seats, refusing to give that very forgiveness to a brother or a sister who has hurt them or wronged them. Well, I can tell you, the old evil foe is having his happy way, driving any and every wedge he can. Our prideful nose in the air, arrogant sin has taken the perfect unity and harmony of Eden and caused the disunity and discord we see today. And the truth is, you and I are not guiltless. We are not innocent bystanders in all this. All we like sheep, said Isaiah. The operative word there is all. Leaves no one of us out. So has Jesus' prayer for unity and oneness in his church gone unanswered? I mean, for all these years? No way. While at times we may be tempted to think, if only Jesus were here. The truth is, he is here. You see, the ascension of our Lord and the sending of the Spirit testify that our Lord is still working in the world, and he is still building his church. Our Lord ascends and sends the Holy Spirit so that he might not just be in one place at one time, but all over the place at all times. His word working to bring the work of his cross to every part of the world, uniting people of every tribe and nation and language to himself, undoing the disunity and the discord of sin through the forgiveness of our sins. And so Jesus prayed for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. Those who will believe in me through their word. This word business is the preaching of the apostles, the preaching of the law that shows us point blank, up close and personal, our sin. And the preaching of the gospel that shows us up close and personal our Savior. The law of God shows us the disunity and the discord we have caused in our selfishness, in our pride, and our arrogance. Seeks to use others for personal and selfish advantage. I want others to serve me instead of the other way around. The preaching of God's law exposes that all too often reality that I am too willing to give up the truth for a let's pretend friendship. The preaching of the law exposes the horrible fact that I do not love others enough to speak to them the truth, but in love. That I too often live by the devil's creed. Live and let live. That's indeed the devil's creed, for it's the exact opposite of what Jesus did, who would not let us just live in our sin, but who came to save us from our sin. And that, you see, is the preaching of the gospel that shows the divine remedy to all the disunity and all the discord of our selfishness and our pride and our arrogance, the forgiveness that is found only in Christ. The one who did not live and let live, but who came and who died that we may live. Who paid the price of our life-stealing sin and rose that we might rise to new life with him and to new life in him. Restoring the unity and the oneness, tying us uniting us to himself. I want you to listen to this. You know these words, Romans 6, but would you just listen again? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk. In what? Not in the same manure piles. That we too might walk in newness of life. This is all his doing. Although it'll never be perfect as long as we live in this world, but one sinner at a time, he's working, uniting us to his life, restoring death and resurrection and in holy baptism, bringing us daily to the life, restoring death and resurrection of holy absolution, implanting in us his life, restoring death and resurrection through his body and blood in holy communion. And through this word and these means, you and I, we are forgiven and restored and united to him, and we are united to one another. Any unity outside of Jesus and his truth is no real unity at all. But in Jesus, we are united and joined to one another as closely as he is in the Father and the Father is in him, living for one another, dying for one another, praying for one another, speaking to one another, reaching out in care and compassion to one another, serving one another, forgiving one another, loving one another. We have his promise that this is how it will be in this in-between time, this time between our Lord's first coming in the flesh and his second coming in glory. For in his prayer that we heard today, Jesus prays for those, that, did you hear that? Those who will believe in me through their word. Not who might believe in me, but who will. The Lord's doing this, not us, his word, living and active, filled with, driven by his Spirit, will work exactly what he desires. And get this, he is doing it. He is having his way. He is having his way through this motley bunch known as First Lutheran Church. The Lord Jesus Christ is building his church. He is doing it through the faithful proclamation of his word, the labors of our hands, the compassion of our hearts, through quilts and conversations and LWML and Bible classes and big time. He is building his church through our school. We live under the cross. We will not see that perfect unity and harmony here on earth. We will see it when our Lord returns and that picture given to us in the book of Revelation becomes a visible reality. Well, it's already a reality for us, but you see, we get to see it with our eyes, our own eyes, gathered around the Lamb with all the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. We can't see it yet. But this is what Christ is working and accomplishing already now through his word and spirit, with the water of life filling our font, the light of his word lighting our way, and the fruit of his tree of life on his altar. Soon, very soon. Soon, my brother and sister, we will see the Lamb in all his glory, and we will see his church as she really is. The beautiful, splendid, glorious bride of Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.